Hello, it's Sunday, April 22nd. You are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris, and this is show number 52.
Yay!
Well, check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you would like to send us an email, do so at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. With us today, we have a bunch of people in my basement. We have Keith.
Talking into Bob's sock.
We have Bob.
Booty, booty, booty. Booty everywhere. I have found you, Ms. New Booty. Thank you, Bubba Sparks. I've never heard a more eloquent introduction to a...
Can't say... We have Phil.
I'm glad to see Keith is wearing pants today.
And we have Ivan.
Hello.
What are we chatting about this week? We were going to have something really cool and special for our one-year anniversary.
Ends up, we're just talking into my sock.
It smells clean.
New at Dream Station, Gamers 1, Star Force 0. We have a video game death, finally.
Yay!
G4 TV is awesome, and by awesome, I mean crap. PlayStation 2 price drop. Breaking news, Mark Echo is an idiot.
Oh my god, that's breaking news?
Best Buy busted for bootlegging.
Nice.
Walmart deems what you play. Women gamers outnumber men gamers. Online gaming, create your own ads. More Gizmondo exec stuff. Our forum question and our mailbag.
Mailbag!
Nice.
Next topic.
All right, so it's show 52. We've been around for a year.
You'd never notice.
Why?
Only you'd stop listening and do something else on Monday.
Yeah, so we figured, all right, well, it's Sunday. Go see Silent Hill the movie, and then we'll record. Silent Hill the movie, I don't want to say was a waste of 2 hours.
I'll say it. It was a waste of 2 hours.
They had two or three really good scenes. Overall, it was pretty good. The ending was just stupid.
Yeah, the ending was a letdown.
Only Ivan played the video game. He said it was actually followed the video game really well. None of the rest of us would know. As far as news, yeah, there was some news. We took basically a week off, and to be honest, not a lot happened in 2 weeks, so I don't know how we do our normal show. This is 2 weeks worth of news, this show. Again, we just want to thank everybody who listens to us, everybody who digs us, who helps us. A bunch of websites that I submitted news to, and you're like too cool to pimp us.
You can be in Fog World for all we care. What the was that?
Punch him in the throat! Punch him in the throat!
It's the only way to save him!
I swallowed an ice chip!
Alright, so what are the top three games we were playing, Keith?
Godfather, World of Warcraft.
Bob, what have you played this week? Three games.
I didn't play D&D Online. I don't think D&D Online is going to be around for too much longer. Alien Storm from Reflexive, because there's no one to play games with during the day, so I download little crappy ones and waste my time with those.
So you may actually have to put Top Spin in your top
three. Oh my god! No! I played Fight Night finally. That's right, because we played games today. I don't have to put Top Spin in.
I snuck Top Spin into the 360, and once Bob and Ivan realized what the game was, they were less than pleased. Ivan, top three games you've played this week.
Well, since I got my DS Lite, I guess I've been playing Tetris, Mario Kart. I've been playing Brain Age quite a bit.
What is the age of your brain?
Right now I'm at 30. Started off at like 62.
So you're actually learning things like with the game?
I'm learning.
And Phil, top three games that you have played, if any.
The usual two. World of Warcraft and Burnout Takedown.
I played Oblivion for the 360, Battlefield 2 for the 360, and I beat Shaolin Monks. Well, you know what happened was we played it last week, and it reminded me...
Yeah, we put like 60 hours in last week, and then you went and finished it without... I don't care.
You're dead to me.
Our contest. I guess we should do our contest winners, huh? And these were the two contest winners. One was for the 24 prize pack, one was for the Amped 3 prize pack. 27. Who's number 27 there, Phil?
Shiloh C.
Shiloh C wins Amped 3. Congrats. Shiloh C.
How about 48?
48 is Lazy Boy.
Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy, you are now the winner of the 24 prize pack.
Yay! Yay!
There was much rejoicing. So there, thank you for entering our contest. We had a bunch of entries. We appreciate it.
Chris does.
Yeah, nobody else does. They don't like you. We talked about Silent Hill, right? I didn't mention that one reviewer online called it the literary equivalent of JavaScript.
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
I don't either. That's why I was looking for interpretation.
We agree that none of us understand.
Bethesda Software released the Orrery, O-R-R-E-R-Y. What the Orrery is it's a mage building with a mage-based quest inside of it for the game Oblivion. You can buy it for a mere $2, and what you get out of that is about 10 minutes of gameplay. I haven't bought this stinking pile of crap. This is what the forums were saying. Basically, we're going back to saying, if you don't like this type of stuff, vote with your wallet. Remember Red Steel? It was the Revolution game. It was the very first big Nintendo Revolution game. You could be some sort of sword-swinging, gun-shooting guy. They did find they have a cool thing. If you have the controller in your hand, the angle at which you turn your hand affects the angle in the game. Normal light gun game is pretty much just however you aim, that's where it is. is. Doesn't take into effect any angle. So if I'm aiming up like this, long and short of it is that angle is taken into effect. Well, the problem with this is everybody's all pumped for this thing and they don't want a mature rating. So Nintendo has said there will be no blood. We are in the next gen and we're still stuck with...
I'm not surprised. It's Nintendo. I don't expect mature titles from Nintendo. It's Nintendo.
But shouldn't they have like a parental code to lock you out or something like that?
No.
It's Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Really?
They mushrooms, in, flowers.
And plumbers.
All right, so in a game with swords and guns...
You're going to see a lot of flashing lights and sparklies.
All right. Everybody was against me. I'm really, really for the blood.
Well, of course we're for the blood.
No, but you guys don't expect... You're not disappointed. You're not...
No, no. It'll probably still be really fun, though.
If you're listening, Nintendo, and your goal is to appeal to a much more broader, mature audience, I think what we're saying is that the game still may be fun and we'll probably still get it. But, I mean, we're still not associating Nintendo with mature titles.
So what I'm saying is, even though you're now targeting towards me, you know, I'm sitting here saying that it's bad, I'm still going to buy it, so your marketing scheme is...
It's flawless. Perfect. Kudos. Good job. The last thing in housekeeping is the rumors are the PlayStation 3 will be under tight wraps at E3 this year. So you can see it if you're lucky enough and you have an appointment and probably you're some sort of member of the media. Yeah, and probably Kutaragi will be right there next to you, making sure that you don't accidentally push the wrong buttons and expose the PlayStation 3 for being any bug-ridden.
You can look, but only push the A button. Anything else, I don't even want to tell you what happened.
They still haven't released prices. They still haven't released release dates. Who knows what the heck PlayStation 3
is? Well, that can't be true. We were just at GameStop today, and they have pre-order, which is being released and has a date. So you're telling me GameStop's lying?
What was GameStop's price and date?
Oh, I don't know. I just laughed and said, oh, look, they know that Sony's coming out.
Wonder if they'll actually release a video of the actual gameplay of Killzone.
No. Because people will be like, oh, that's what it really will look like? Oh, yeah, we don't care about that.
Next topic.
New at Dream Station. What do we have at Dream Station, the website, this week? We have a review of Blazing Angels for the 360. I was not a big fan of that crappy game. We have NBA 06 for the PSP, Burnout Revenge for the 360, which is a rehash, of course, and we have Black for the Xbox.
Next topic.
Gamers 1, Star Force 0.
Yay.
Yeah, this was actually pretty cool. So everybody wanted it, everybody asked for it, everybody got it. Fan outcry means business lately. Basically what happened was people were really ticked about this whole Star Force thing. That is the Russian copy protection that has little hidden drivers and stuff on your machine. Ubisoft heard the public outcry and they actually were slapped with a lawsuit, class action lawsuit. They decided that the bad publicity is not worth it. They're no longer using that Russian copy protection. Starting with the new game Heroes of Might and Magic. In related news, Russian political person Alexander Gurov blames the crime rate in Russia on video games. That damn Tetris. Yeah, so all the Russian mob, it wasn't because they have been there since 50s or the 40s. It's because of video games.
No, it has nothing to do with lack of food and...
Waiting in line for 10 hours for a potato. Tetris was the one... What was the other big puzzle game over there?
Tetris Advance? Tetris 2? Karnov. That was the other big game in Russia.
Alexander Gurov's come out and said, in Russia, only games where Nazis lose all the time should be available. So far, the opposite is happening. Those friggin' Nazis are winning in all the video games.
I didn't know Nazis were the cause behind this.
Yeah, Nazis are the reason for the Russian mob. This is coming from the same country that just this past week had the annual Pig Olympics, so I don't know if we can trust anything. Literally, Pig Olympics. Take pigs, and they dump them in the ocean. Swim, piggy, swim! And the first piggy to get to the end, he gets a medal for swimming. The good news to all this is it's actually at a point in time now where you as a gamer actually have some power, and if you hate Star Force enough, they will stop using it.
Next topic.
Video game death.
Yay! I mean...
Finally, somebody hooked us up and killed someone else. So pick the country this time. Let's just take a guess.
Korea!
So Nagasaki is the location. Two brothers were fighting and the family rivalry ended in tragedy. One was 13, the other one was 15. Basically, they were done gaming and nobody wanted to put the system away. It's like when Keith and I used to fight over the vacuum. The rule was whoever touched it last had to put it away, so we would literally, like, whip one end of the hose at the other one and if it hit him... That dude had to put it away. Part of the rule. We would wake up really early in the morning to rush to get the vacuum because for God knows what reason, putting it away is the most horrible thing. Not getting it all set up, and then vacuuming. They didn't want to put the gaming system away either.
So we can relate.
Here's what happened. The younger one kicked the older one into unconsciousness and then continued to beat him. The older guy died in the hospital later in the evening.
Awesome. What system was it?
They didn't say. But it's Japan. Come on. It has to be the PlayStation 2.
Next topic.
G4 TV is awesome, and by awesome, I mean crap.
Why don't you say crap?
Sarcasm. Our least favorite TV station, G4, is at it again. They used to be Tech TV. They actually had some good programming. They did have some tech shows that were actually decent. Then they were bought by G4 TV. That's TV for gamers. And they've since gotten worse and worse and worse.
But there's a really hot chick on that Cheats show.
Which the chick has no knowledge of video games at all, but reads, like, the strategy guide to you. X-Play is mildly entertaining, although they're doing more and more sex jokes and skits, neither of which are very funny.
Oh, the Kratos Valentine's Day thing was
Kratos Valentine's was funny, I will admit that. Star Trek they put on here, The Man Show, it's basically becoming Spike TV.
Man Show's on there now?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with video games?
Boobies!
Star Trek's on there too.
Klingons!
Attack of the Show will get a Fox Sports correspondent named Olivia Munn. They also got Howard Stern's girlfriend, Beth Ostrowski. Is that right?
I don't care.
Well, here's my point. They're putting these people as the hosts of shows because they're trying to relaunch these two shows. They're relaunching Filter, which is like a top 10 type of show that used to be for video games. And they're relaunching Attack of the Show, which is like they're one of their only few hits still. And they're going to, in June, put much less emphasis on tech and games and much more emphasis on male-oriented topics and humor. Thinking male-oriented humor means farting.
Burping. People getting tripped.
Monkeys.
Midgets.
G4, up to it again. I'm really hoping that the whole station just goes away.
I liked it better when it was in Tech TV.
Next topic.
Today, the system costs $149.99 United States dollars. So they dropped the price by 20 measly dollars. So now PlayStation 2, $130. Ivan's PlayStation 2 had just recently broke. I knew two, three guys at work.
Brian's just broke.
Our brother Brian had a PlayStation that just... It seems like within the last 3 months, all of the PlayStation 2s that have been out there simultaneously broke. Oh, yeah, here's the other story.
Next topic.
We're going to do a review that we have bonus review here. Time Crisis 3 for the PlayStation 2. That's a lot of numbers. You and Brian went out to the store and wanted a light gun game. And is it the old school Gun Con kind of light gun?
No, they didn't have those. They just had the stupid Mad Catz ones. But the Mad Catz ones were like $20 or something.
And they'll last a week.
The single player game is good and it works. The multiplayer game, it's, you know how it's like the one big screen, everything's big? To keep the screen square, they cut it in half and then shrunk it. So it's like this big on...
Time Crisis 2 is not like you're running off in your own world, right? You're both next to each other.
No, the two guys like move across each other, that kind of thing. But it was very stupid, and it's like the guys are this big, and we all know how accurate those guns are anyway.
By this big, he meant like an inch.
It was hard to play two players.
So you're kind of ticked that you bought it.
Not really. It was $20.
So it was worth it, $20.
To shoot stuff for a while, yeah, we were entertained.
But only one at a time?
That was more fun shooting one at a time than two.
That really sucks. There was a vampire game, too.
No, but on eBay, all those games are like $10 a piece.
We put Top Spin 2 in, and we went to the options, and for some reason, Ivan thought umpire volume said vampire volume.
It looked like it from as far away as I was.
And he was all excited. He's like, vampire. Wait, go back. It said vampire.
This is the best tennis game ever.
It's a good volley.
Oh, God, the vampire's attacking!
The vampire swoops down.
What do you think of Time Crisis then out of 10? Considering you paid $20 for the game.
I think it was actually $15 for the game, $20 for the controller. We'll get our money's worth out of it, but the game is probably like 6.5, 7. It's not a good game. It's a crap, but it's fun to shoot people.
Not sure how the guns work with those rear projection TV like I have. I don't know if the gun would even work. I bet you it wouldn't.
Next topic.
Breaking news. This just in. Mark Echo is an idiot.
Next topic.
A video was released last week of someone spray painting the side of the United States President's airplane, Air Force One. Somebody, that was probably Mark Echo, snuck into the airfield where the Air Force One was being kept and spray painted Stay Free on the side of the Air Force One plane. He said he wanted to do something culturally significant and create a real pop culture moment. It was a hoax.
Wait a second. Isn't Stay Free like a brand of panty liner or something like that?
You go to StayFree.com, you are greeted with something most men don't really want to see. Visit Stay Free for moms and women with changing protection needs. God. So like if you move to a bad city or something?
Yeah, exactly. We've just moved to the ghetto.
I don't even remember where I was at. Stay Free, painted on the side.
Mark Echo.
So it turns out it's all a fake. They basically rented a 747 and they painted it up to look like Air Force One and he fake snuck in and he fake graffiti down the side.
When I watched the video, he just like fence with a barbed wire top was the only thing that was between him and Air Force One. And there was like one guard having a cigarette with a coffee way off in the distance.
Sweet street cred there, Mr. Echo. How much did the stunt cost? Echo said, it's not cheap, dude. You have to be rich. So that's pretty good ego. So anybody out there who buys dude's clothes or bought his game, you should probably unsubscribe to our podcast. And
next topic.
Best Buy busted for bootlegging. Win Internals has some tools for PC diagnosis and repair. Best Buy wanted to get a bunch of licenses so that the dreaded Geek Squad could use this software to do their PC repair and upgrading and all that stuff. They say, I'll install your memory for you for the low price of $69.99, when in reality all you have to do is snap it in there and it takes literally 30 seconds.
Their tools are expensive if you were to legitimately buy them online.
Well, that's where we're getting at. During the training of the software, the employees were like, oh, I already know all this stuff. We're already familiar with all these tools. So Win Internals is like, what's going on? Best Buy said, well, we need evaluation copies of the software. Turns out, well, the Geek Squad doesn't really need it anymore. We've evaluated your software. We don't really dig it too much. So something was suspicious. Long story short, Win Internals has videotape proof that the geeks were using pirated software in their computer repair services. So Best Buy is in way deep trouble because this software that has like the registered to and the load screen and it says gold member, and they actually went into their computer records and they were like, yeah, we didn't register to gold member.
Oh.
So these dudes are hosed. And that's actually a really big deal because it's Best Buy, and there's like a ton of Best Buys everywhere and Geek Squad. So now they're being investigated by other software companies, like, you know, even Microsoft and stuff, because who knows what they're actually really doing. Has anyone actually ever used the Geek Squad?
No.
Why would you need
You're in a room full of geeks, dude.
Yeah. We are the Geek Squad.
Anytime something's gone wrong with my computer, what have I done?
He called me.
That's right. Captain Geek Squad.
Does anyone know anyone that's got the Geek Squad
Rob
to come to
Buddy them? Is a Geek Squad member.
Was he shot? He will be.
I did see the Geek Squad will install your game and make sure it's running for a fee.
For real?
For real. The funny part, now, I don't want to get this wrong, because
I've seen that posted at Best Buy.
I'm pretty sure this wasn't even on PC games. I'm pretty sure this was like console games. He's going, what is he going to come to your house, take the disc out, make sure you don't snap it, because those can be tricky. Put it in, hit the close button, and then like play it in your house for an hour to test it and make sure it runs optimally.
Hold on, dude, I'm about to level. Hold on.
Right.
Next topic.
Walmart deems what you play.
What do they deem it?
I know all about this one.
Software developers are getting feedback from Walmart. Their game is too mature or too bloody or too gory. They're getting feedback from Walmart saying we aren't going to carry that game. So lots of software companies have changed or scrapped video game titles because they're afraid that Walmart will not carry them.
Yeah, Walmart, I think, is the biggest video game seller at this point in time.
How Walmart is even finding out about the development of video games, like, while they're in development, I don't know. Unless people are specifically showing them, saying, hey, if we make this game, will you sell it?
Because they have so much power in the retail marketplace, they're actually getting involved with the business side and saying, well, yeah, we're family-friendly, so we're not going to sell that. Because we're not going to sell that, people are freaking. I mean, they already have CDs, right? Doesn't Walmart have, like, clean?
Why would we buy our crap from Walmart?
I don't think Walmart carries explicit lyric CDs. I don't think you could buy, like, hardcore stuff. You probably couldn't buy the newest DMX.
I went to get the new Cannibal Corpse at Walmart.
Yeah.
They didn't have.
You're not going to find
it. They didn't have any of them.
They do have pants.
But even stuff that's mainstream, yeah, they might sell Godsmack or Korn, but I don't think they only sell the clean version.
Cleaned version of Korn?
Yeah.
It's already been husked.
Next topic.
Women gamers outnumber men gamers.
All right, but do hot women gamers outnumber men gamers?
In the age bracket of 25 to 34, a study from the Consumer Electronics Association indicates that there are more women gamers because of the popularity of casual games with card games like Solitaire and puzzle games like Tetris.
Takes a woman to declare Solitaire a game.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. It depends what you call a game.
It is. I read that article as well. Their idea of game is any video game, whether it's Solitaire on your Windows computer or Tetris, anything.
They were less likely than men to play traditional console games like PlayStation 2 or Xbox. They want casual games like Yahoo or AOL games, PopCap games. Nonviolent, not necessarily super competitive against other players. So maybe this whole like Xbox Live Marketplace thing, maybe it'll catch on.
You still have to get the girls to spend $700 on an Xbox 360.
No, you know what's really happening is the guy who's whining and complaining, yeah, he'll buy them, and then the wife will be like, this is retarded. You just spent so much money on it. And then he's like, look, dude, Zuma. And she's like, oh my God, and you'll never play on your Xbox ever again because she's playing Bejeweled for hours.
Sounds like you've had personal experience with this.
Damn Animal Crossing.
Jeez, picking weeds in Animal Crossing for weeks. Somebody at work was talking about potentially what they could do is offer up Xbox Live Marketplace console. So maybe it'd be only $100 and it would have internet support like messaging and stuff like that.
I think they have another one that's called GameTap for that.
They also have emulators, but Tetris is the only game that they're going to play. They're not going to download emulation and learn how to use MAME.
Next topic.
Online gaming, create your own ads. Project Entropia is an online science fiction kind of MMO. They're taking the idea of in-game advertising a little bit further, and what they want is advertising billboards. There's a PowerPoint system that will allow gamers to create their own ads and then buy time on the billboards.
That will be a windfall.
You think?
How many people do you think guilds would pay just to say, like, Riding Dragon Lords owns the Orc Raiders or something, and just leave it there for everybody to see for months on end?
The ads have been so far promoting in-game events from players, fashion shows, hunting competitions. MindArk is the software that has this whole in-game thing. I don't know, I guess that's the point. I don't know how much the ads cost. It doesn't really say. This is that stupid game that guy spent millions of dollars. Remember?
Yeah.
Tom was going to download it, and it was in Chinese, and they wanted a credit card, and he was like, no. I think it was the guys from City Heroes that said, the moment that you allow players to destroy the environment, if I allow somebody to write onto the sidewalk with their bullets and have it stay there, is the moment that they'll start to write swear words in the middle of the streets. Yeah. Just to do it. So I would wonder if
you'll get a billboard of somebody's
right. You get a big old nasty thing just looking at you.
Next topic.
Girl gamer recruitment. Now, there's some kind of reality TV show going on to replace one of the people who are leaving the Frag Dolls. Eekers.
What?
Is leaving Frag Dolls. Frag Dolls are like an all-girl gaming group for video games and PC and console. And they're doing a nationwide search. And here's what's required. Everything from actual gaming skill all the way up to glamour shots. The 8 finalists will be flown to San Francisco.
Damn, you're a good gamer, but you're ugly. You can't be one of us. Go away.
The whole thing will be covered by game trailers.
There's a whole room full of hot women gamers somewhere.
You guys never heard of the Frag Dolls before? The Frag Dolls are an all-girl gaming clan. They try and portray themselves as like, yes, we're really good at gaming, but we're not hideous looking either. We're not Medusa and her henchmen. So yeah, they're like kind of celebrities and stuff. The thing is, they actually have skill and they can actually beat a lot of the top guys in the area. There was talk about like girl gaming reality TV shows because they think that it'll sell and it'll actually get a lot of guys to watch it. It said that Ubisoft will be able to see how the girls react to pressure when they all get into this area, and more importantly, how the audience reacts to girl gamers.
Take off your shirt!
Right, exactly. No, but how horrible is it that that's how you pimp yourself? Not like, I'm so good I can beat all the guys, but like, I mean, these are, I guess, aimed at the same people who are buying, you know, like the Playboy game, and yeah, the Man Show, Leisure Suit Larry.
Next topic.
We had a forum question this past week, and again, if you want to vote on the forum question that we have weekly, dreamstation.cc, go to the general forums. There's a little link there on the left-hand side. The question this past week was submitted by Tartarus.
When do you prefer to first learn about a game? Planning phase, full life cycle, tech demos, goes gold, on-store shelves, bargain bin, with 32.5% tech demos, 27.9% for planning phase, 23% for goes gold. Bargain bin for 9.3%, and the least was on store shelves with 6%, almost 7%.
Quizler writes, I love finding out about a game in the tech demo, so I can see the evolution of the game from that point to the final product. Depending on what's added or taken away will influence my buying decision, unless it's a series I'm a big fan of. Then I'll be the sheep that I am and plunk down hard-earned clams on it no matter what the outcome. Resident Evil, Dead Aim, anyone? Fenn says, I say tech demos. There are far too many games you hear about during the planning that then suddenly disappear without a trace, and you're left bitter and disappointed. If you suddenly hear about a really good game and find out there are already demos, you can get your hopes up, as well as more or less get some information on the game. Green Monkey writes, I like waiting for a game till after it's been on sale for 5 months or more, because it's cheaper on me and my family, because we don't have too much to spend. When my bro and I finally got a PS2, we started getting all the old games because we knew that by now they would sell for no more than $10 a pop. Also, there are more in stock, and we didn't have to wait in line or for more shipments to come in. RogueFan99 says, after being burnt by Duke Nukem and his sister Nova, I hate reading previews for a game, especially the newer consoles where the graphics change totally as well as the gameplay, so these days I prefer to know about the game when it hits shelves. Bitfire says, I prefer to learn about a game as early as possible. This way I can see just how far the game comes from conception to final product. Or, in some cases, Fable, watch it slowly decline towards a mere shell of what we were initially promised. And finally, Metroid writes, as strange as I think it sounds, I'd rather learn about a game at the very beginning, so it is a complete surprise. An example of this would be The Legend of Zelda, The Twilight Princess, because part of what makes a game good is the feeling that you get when you first buy it. That feeling of, yes, I finally got Twilight Princess, and it makes you that much more excited about the game.
So what do we feel about...
No, you don't want to hear about too early, because too many games... Now, when they first announce it, is a bunch of crap, because if it does ever come out, it's like 3 years from now, and I've already forgotten about it.
So I would probably say tech demos is your answer.
Yeah,
I'd say demos also, because it's nice to actually get a little bit of hands-on play.
When it's already on the shelf, that way I can buy it.
So you don't want to get any hype?
No, I like a little more anticipation than that. As soon as you can...
When it goes gold, maybe?
Beta. Getting in the beta's test is fun.
I'll change my vote to that.
If it just comes out and it looks sweet, like D&D Online, and you're just like, hey, sweet, this will be fun, we can all play this together, and you play it, and it's like, okay.
Horribly underwhelmed.
Wow.
I'm down with Keith's original answer. I don't want to hear about it until it's like on the store shelves for a few weeks. The only reason I say that is because otherwise I may actually buy it. So the later I hear about cool games coming out, I have a tendency to buy way too many games, especially now.
No, not you.
Wait till the game comes out, because that way you don't have to be annoyed by the retarded GameStop people asking you if you want to pre-order anything.
So Gabriel DeLeon, what you will be asked to answer this week, listeners, is if Jesus were the star of a video game, what style would the game be best suited for? Stealth or espionage like Metal Gear Solid? Platformer like Mario? First-person shooter, Call of Duty type stuff? A real-time strategy like Rise of Nations or StarCraft? Or a puzzle game like the Myth series?
The question is good. The options are ridiculous. Why would Jesus be...
In a puzzle game?
Yeah. What? I don't even understand that.
You have to fit the Hebrew slaves that are all misshapen into the little puzzle. And the lines disappear. And as we did the last time we had somewhat related to religion, everybody actually handled it pretty good. Please do the same.
Next topic.
We have an audio question. We're in our mailbag now. All right, this one is from, I'll pronounce it Thad. Hopefully I didn't pronounce it wrong. Hey, I've listened to you guys for a long time already, probably close to a year. By the way, congrats on the one-year anniversary. I usually don't send emails with feedback, even especially to you guys. Personally, I listen to the show and absolutely fume most of the time with everyone putting down the 360. I worked on the 360 for the better part of a year and a half, and I still have a lot of friends that were there from the beginning and continuing to work on the new stuff that's coming out. I'm still a Microsoft guy, but I've moved on to something new. Regardless of your position on the 360 and Microsoft in general, I do give you guys on props on the interviews that you did, especially the one with the guy from The Godfather, designer of The Godfather. I have to say that's probably one of my favorite episodes to date. The interview was interesting and very relevant. The questions were asked intelligently and thought-provoking. The guy from The Godfather had a wealth of information, and to some extent made me feel a little better about EA and their future of the EA games. Good luck, keep up the good work, and I look forward to another year without the Microsoft bashing. I don't bash the 360 as much. If someone were to ask me, should you buy a 360 for $400, I think my answer would still probably be no, unless you're really hardcore into it. There are actually some good games. I mean, Oblivion's good, although you can get it on the PC. Need for Speed Most Wanted is very good. Get it on the current generation of the Xbox. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter is really good. Dead or Alive is good, but, you know, it's just a nice-looking fighting game, so it depends. Call of Duty is out for the PC. I mean, so we haven't had any super crazy, good, great, wonderful exclusives, so unless you're hardcore into it, I still can't recommend it, but aside from that, I like the 360.
I don't think we bash it more than anything else. If we talk about it on the show, we're going to rip on it.
I think once they drop the price to around $300 for the Sweet system, I think I can recommend it to people. Bill Steve from the Fish in a Barrel podcast, he says, hey, I may just be dumb. On my friend's 360, there was only 13 gigs of free space when it was wiped clean. Isn't it a 20 gig drive? I meant to ask you this when you were on our show, but now I can ask on yours via email.
7 is donated to honoring Bill Gates every morning at sunrise and every evening at sunset. Your Xbox will face west towards California and will start to pray.
Either that or 7 gigs is used for system stuff.
You gotta have an operating system on there.
System updates, operating system stuff, not accessible to gamers. This one's from Matt Pulowski. I think you should review the game Kingdom Hearts 2. It is much better than Kingdom Hearts 1. Right. Has anyone played Kingdom Hearts 1?
Everybody I've talked to who's played it, even though it sounds like the stupidest thing ever.
Ryan loved it.
Everyone I've talked to says it's really, really good. But every Disney character, from like Mickey Mouse to Aladdin and Mulan.
Al from Canada. Hey guys, I was listening to some old episodes of the show and came across one that you poke fun of the state of the gaming on the Mac. Being an avid Mac user and fan, I of course felt personally slighted at this compelled me to prove you wrong.
2 out of 4 males of people feeling slighted.
Todd Kelly sent me an email. He has his new Mac, and this new Mac can do this thing where it does the PC operating system as well.
Boot camp.
So he was so pumped because he can finally play Civilization 4.
Yeah, I've discovered the wheel. Oh, we've discovered nuclear fusion.
So as far as Mac gaming, I do. I think that it's opened up a lot, especially since now you can do this whole PC boot camp thing. This one's from Shiplock Zims B23. That was at the end of his email. That might be a SIG file. That might be his address. I'm not sure. I noticed you guys don't really seem to care about the DS Wi-Fi. Why is this?
I own a DS, and although I didn't care about it to begin with, it's pretty cool now.
Online games, I mean, you got Tetris, Tony Hawk Skating, Metroid, Mario Kart. There's not a ton of wireless games, and when I went on to Tetris, I had a heck of a time trying to find a match. You get into a match, and you get two or three people to join, because I think you need four. Even when we did four-player Tetris, it was searching for an awfully long time.
Yeah, well, that's
time.
The thing. I didn't do the four-player one, because two people joined. We couldn't get a fourth to join, so the other two people just left, so we never actually got to play. One-on-one seems to work pretty well.
This one is from Surfin' Mongo. Hey, I know you guys have talked about how PC gaming is slowing down. Anyways, I was wondering, should I get a 360 over the summer, or should I get some good parts for my PC to get a new PC over the summer? Keep listening. Been listening for about a year. Thanks.
360. The only thing you need your computer for anymore is to surf the internet, check your email, which you can probably do from the 360 pretty soon.
I've changed sides, to be honest.
I still think PC gaming is better. Unfortunately, the rest of the world doesn't. Yes, exactly.
Most of the games that come out now, the PC has to be a beast to run it, and I don't feel like installing because it's a big pain in the rear end. I got three CDs at minimum for most games. Then I got to download some patch.
You got to worry about the DRM crap being installed now.
You know, it's just a greater commitment if you're even going to want to sit down and play a PC game. It's really hard just to sit down and play for 10 minutes. But then, like, even to play something just like one game of Dawn of War, that's like... too hard to sit down, you know, play one round of Fight Night and go do something else.
So are we unanimous in saying spend...
get a 360.
$400 on the 360 versus buying new parts for your PC? Wow, all right, so there, Mr. Microsoft guy. We bash your system and then recommend it.
Yeah.
All right, this one's from Mark Smitanoff. Hey, just wanted to thank you for an awesome year. I've enjoyed listening to the show since about episode 6. My roommate and I have dubbed the day your podcast comes out as Podcast Wednesday. Brightens up the middle of the week for us. I'm about to kick off a Nintendo podcast over at AdvancedDMN.com. I'll have that in the show notes. You guys sort of have inspired me to some extent. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you for the email there, Mark.
No, now we have...
Lieutenant Carter, hey, I know it's a little late. You probably already have the show planned. That's a good one, dude. We're an hour and 30 minutes into this show, and we still don't have a plan of what we're doing. We apologize. We suck too bad to think of something cool for our year episode. In case you're still looking for some ideas on the things to do, I thought it would be cool to have a clip show moment where you go back and read... if you're looking for ideas, blah, 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 clip moment, go back and revisit milestone moments, such as the first mention of Emilio the Whooping Llama.
Problem with all these milestone moments is we don't remember when they happened, and there's 52 podcasts.
Emilio the Whooping Llama came out in show 34, if you care. The ham sandwich started in episode 1. We did think of that one. Thank you, Lieutenant Carter. But it was much too much effort to have someone go through, and I would love to do that. But yeah, to go through all the episodes and like get the funny ones, that would probably be a really, really cool show.
Make our audience do the work for us. Have them submit funny parts.
Ooh, there
funniest
we go.
Moment.
All we want you to do is send in show number and timestamp.
And then we have a couple audio clips that we're going to play. So we have a whole bunch of more mail that I haven't quite yet read, but we're actually running an hour 30. So there we have an audio question from Josh Harris. Mark from Omaha had like super cool radio guy voice, and he's like, sounds much better than any of us. So thank you, Mark. What was the other dude's name? Winston sent in.
Thank you, Winston.
Hey, congratulations. So thank you, Winston.
Hey, everybody from the Dream Station podcast. This is Mark out here in Omaha. I've been listening to the show for quite some time now. Have loved the first year. It's been great. I would sing a happy birthday song to you, but you don't want that. Believe me, you don't. Anyway, been great first year. Can't wait to see what you guys got in store for us for next year.
Hey, guys. Happy one-year anniversary. Love listening to it every Wednesday. Keep up the podcast. Hope you have another great year.
Hey, DreamStation.cc crew. This is Joshua H. from New York City. And first off, I want to say you guys are doing a great job. I've been listening since episode 1, and I think someday you guys are going to get paid for it, so keep hope alive. My question, with the increase in mainstream interest in video games in general, do you see a movement from the home to a more communal setting? Whatever happened to the arcades, and do you think a new form of the arcade would be a credible and sought-after outlet for gamers? Thanks, guys, and keep up the good work.
And my comment was, the internet pretty much trumps all of that, so yes.
Problem with gamers is we're all incredibly lazy, and if we can just talk to each other by putting on a headset rather than going outside.
And I mean, when was the last time any of us got all together and brought all of our PCs over to game?
Yeah, well, that and video games now in an arcade, it costs 75 cents or a dollar, so who wants to constantly pump quarters into a machine?
I mean, unless you're in, like, the helicopter that spins in a full circle or something for a dollar, that spins upside down. Seeing the internet and Xbox Live, there really isn't. I mean, we used to go to the arcade to get competition for, like, Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter and hang out and meet people and stuff, but there really isn't much of a reason because you can meet a bunch of people online now. You know, I was playing Battlefield 2, and I had, like, that dude singing that's in every game that you ever ever play. And they're trying to put in downtown Cleveland. They want to put like a gaming bar kind of thing where they have consoles that people come in and hang out. But I don't know how big of a success it would be because, I mean, not a ton of people live in downtown Cleveland. That's their idea. I thought it was kind of cool. I don't know that it will work, to be honest, because I don't think gamers are going to come down. I mean, if you're out at the bar, you're not out the bar because you want a game. You're out at the bar because you're probably looking for chicks. We had a lot more mail. We thanks for all the mail that we got. We thank you for all the, you know, congrats on the first year emails and stuff that I've got. IMs. I got some stuff on Xbox Live that I can't actually get into the old show here because it's a big pain in the rear end. But thank you guys.
Next topic.
That was pretty much the first year of show. I guess we'll start with season 2, episode 1 next week. So does anybody have anything else for our first year of podcasting here? All right, well, thank you guys for being on the show tonight and for the first year of the podcast.
Thank you, Chris, for putting us in your basement and smelling us.
Well, I'll see you guys in a couple months again.
Bubble foot, Vector crap, Volcarias, pay us back, nail bag, one whole year, hey! Mama, say hello, please enjoy 13th show, owning noobs, go teach, one whole year!